Chapter 9. Beauty and the Beast. One day, the doctor saw me looking at the picture of my mother. I carried it everywhere. "Is everything okay, John?" he asked. "You look sad. Have you got everything you need?"
"Yes, doctor. You're all very kind. But I'm lonely. I would love to have a loving relationship with a woman."
The doctor sat beside me. "That's understandable," he said.
I said, "The only woman I've ever been close to is my mother."
"What happened to your mother?" the doctor asked.
"She died when I was 12 years old," I said. "And since then I spent my entire life without a female friend. Of course, most women are scared by the way I look, and I understand that. The nurses here are good to me. But I want a real friend, someone I can talk to."
The doctor seemed sad for me too.
"I don't ask for much," I said, "but just once, I would like to talk with a woman without frightening her."
The doctor looked at me for a long time. He straightened his glasses, then got up and said, "You know, I've got a friend. She's a very nice, pretty widow. I'll ask her if she would spend some time with you."
Before the doctor walked out of my room, I said, "Doctor, please warn her. I'm no ordinary blind date."
My first meeting with Leila Maturin was very short, but it changed my life forever. That was the day I became a real gentleman. She came to visit me in my hospital room on a cold autumn day. I was very nervous waiting for her. She wore a long fur coat and an elegant hat. She shook my hand and smiled at me. Then we sat down together and she removed her hat. But before we even spoke, I began to cry.
"What is it?" Mrs. Maturin said. "Are you okay?"
"Well, you see," I said, "you're the first woman to smile at me and shake my hand." From that day forward, Leila Maturin and I became true friends. She sent me books and small presents. I constructed a model building from cardboard and gave it to her. She was very impressed with it. We wrote each other letters, we laughed together, and we shared secrets. I really loved her visits. Once you have got a good friend, life seems different. Thanks to Leila, I began to see myself differently. I was not just a thing to be looked at. I was somebody, a person with a heart and a soul. She was beautiful and intelligent, and she lived in the real world. She didn't have to like me, but she did.
"Goodbye, John," she said at the end of one of her visits. "I'll come and see you again later this week. Then you can tell me all about your dreams. They're always so interesting."
"I look forward to it," I said. One morning, Nurse Wellington brought me the Times with my usual bacon and eggs. She seemed nervous.
"I hope you enjoy your breakfast, Mr. Merrick," she said, and then hurried out the room.
I was drinking my tea, reading the headlines, when I suddenly understood why Nurse Wellington had brought me the newspaper. "Beautiful stage star adores Elephant Man. Dame Madge Kendall says he is a source of inspiration to us all." Shakespearean actress Dame Madge Kendall recently told the press that her favourite celebrity is John Joseph Merrick, the poor creature also known as the Elephant Man. "Mr. Merrick is my idea of a true hero," the dramatic actress said. "In all my years on the stage, I have never met a person with such courage. He is a genuine soul and a fine Englishman." Mrs. Kendall would like to teach Mr. Merrick basket weaving, a hobby she enjoys. The actress isn't the only beautiful woman who sees something special in this strange character. The lovely Princess Alexandra of Wales also has one request: to
to meet the deformed Mr. Merrick.
I would like to sit with him, Princess Alexandra declared. I've heard that he is absolutely charming.
I put down the paper. I couldn't believe they were talking about me in such a kind way. The doctor decided it was time I visited the theatre, and I was very excited about this. We rode in a carriage to the Theatre Royal on Drury Lane. We wore black suits and bow ties. White snowflakes were falling all around us, and children threw snowballs at each other. I love Christmas time, I said.
It was nice of Dame Kendall to give us these tickets, the doctor said.
Indeed, I said. Usually I am the show, but I've never gone to a show before.
It's a Christmas opera, the doctor explained. I think you will enjoy it.
We sat in Dame Kendall's private box, and Nurse Hartley joined us. Suddenly, the big red curtains rose. The show was starting. The orchestra played. Reindeer flew across the stage. Children dressed as angels with wings rose up high up into the air. Giant snowflakes fell. Suddenly, Madge Kendall danced across stage, dressed as a fairy princess. The music touched my heart. It was my first experience of such harmony and beauty.
Look at you, Mr. Merrick, Nurse Hartley said. You look as if you're in a trance.
We laughed. It was true. I was fascinated by the performance. When the show was over, the audience stood up and applauded the cast. Madge Kendall said,
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest with us tonight. My hero, Mr. John Joseph Merrick.
The crowd turned to me. I was afraid they would throw things, scream, or run away. But they didn't. They cheered. On and on they cheered. Nurse Hartley gave me her binoculars to see the crowd. I saw their faces up close. They clapped, smiled, and some even cried. One man in a black suit and thick moustache shouted, Bravo! Instead of them watching me, I was watching them. I was very happy. It was the happiest night of my life.